The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the second chapter. Jesus is presented in the temple. When the time came for the purification rites required by the law of Moses, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, as it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice in keeping with what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people, Israel." The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." There was also a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was very old. She had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, and then was a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple, but worshiped night and day, fasting and praying. Coming up to them at that very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. When Joseph and Mary had done everything required by the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee to their own town of Nazareth. And the child grew and became strong. He was filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was on him. This is the gospel of the Lord. And Lord, we do say hallelujah. Give us your Holy Spirit so like Simeon and Anna, we can praise your name as long as we live. In Jesus' name we pray, and all God's people said, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Well, what Sunday in the church year calendar is it again? Help remind me. It is the... That was supposed to be my punchline. Thanks a lot. Really appreciate that. It's the presentation of our Lord and the purification of Mary is what you were supposed to say, and I was going to say, no, it's the Super Bowl. That's right. Does everybody know who's going to win? Has everybody placed their bets? Okay. If you're a 49ers fan and you think the 49ers are going to win, raise your hand. And if you're a Chiefs fan, or even if you think the Chiefs are going to win, raise your hand. Okay, we'll see what happens, right? All right. Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I think the 49ers are the bigger group. The what? Okay, got it. Well, I kind of feel like I've won the Super Bowl because I have myself a new cushion on my perch. How about that? Compliments of Artie Anderson and also Janice Momini, and they really felt bad for me because this is pretty hard up here, you know, and they felt I needed a little more comfort where we all like a little bit of more comfort, and so they put that together for me. And you know, the reason I've got this up here is not so I can be on my little perch and have a nice little cushion. It's so I can see all of you beautiful saved people in Jesus, you know, and also so that I can see what's going on out there in the congregation too, and you know what's going on in the back too, for safety reasons as well. So thank you for allowing me to sit up here. There's some drawbacks to it, because if I want to pull out a pencil or a pen, I can't do that sitting up there, so I need to find a pencil or a pen. If I want to look at my phone and I'm not checking scores, you know, sometimes I forget people's names, and I've got everybody's name in here, including guests and visitors, so I can look it up real quick or remember children's names or look up a Bible verse or whatever it may be. So I can't get away with that as often either. I could kind of hide in my front pew, you know, and do some of those things. Well, there was no hiding for Simeon and Anna. There's no hiding for us either. The gospel reading, you know, it's hard to preach on, to teach on, to proclaim, you know, what it means about the the presentation of our Lord and also the purification of Mary, too. But I'm going to give it my best shot here. We're going to take a look at Luke chapter 2 real quick, and then we'll have some practical application. Maybe we can do some Bible trivia, see where you guys are at, because I was learning some things as I was studying for this message. Circumcision, right? Began in the Old Testament with Abraham. He was 90 years old. And in Genesis chapter 17, God says, this is how I'm going to do it. This is how I'm going to separate you from all the other nations, all the other pagan nations who don't follow me. It's by grace that I've chosen you, the Hebrew, the Israelites, to be a part of my covenant family. So on what day were male children to be circumcised? Anybody remember? On the eighth day. How many people knew that? It was on the eighth day, okay? It says right here, verse 21, Luke chapter 2, on the eighth day when it was time to circumcise him, he was named Jesus, the name the angel had given him before he had been conceived. Now, anybody know what the name Jesus means? Two words I'm looking for. Jesus means he saves. He saves. I think we all ought to know as Christians what the name Jesus means. Anybody know the guy in the Old Testament whose name means the same thing? It also starts with the letter J. Joshua. Hey, you knew that one. So both mean he saves. And that's what Jesus came to do. The name that angel told Joseph to name him is correct. He didn't come to be a great philosopher. He really didn't come to be a great teacher or rabbi. He really didn't come to, you know, heal people, although he did all those things and so much more. The primary mission of Jesus was to save us from our sins, which he did by his perfect life, death, and resurrection. And by grace through faith in Jesus, we believe that. And his righteousness has been credited to us. Where did most of us, what has replaced circumcision? What do we do in the church today that sort of replaces that, that consecrates us and sets us apart to be the holy children of God? What do we call that? We call that baptism. So we baptize infants, we baptize toddlers, teenagers, middle-aged people, because we believe in original sin, right? That we were conceived and born in sin. Two sinful people get together, guess what they create? A sinful human being. And baptism is the means by which the benefits of what Jesus did on the cross come down to us. Forgiveness of sins is poured out on people when they are baptized into the name of the triune God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Now, did you know, or I should say, for male children who were born according to the law, as it is written, you know, in the book of Exodus, after how long was a male child to be presented to the Lord? It's the presentation of our Lord. Anybody know? I didn't even know either. After 1 month. 30 days, there's a presentation of all male firstborn children. So that's what Mary and Joseph were doing as good parents. It was the redemption of the firstborn. A firstborn son was to be presented to God 1 month after birth. You can find that again in Exodus. The ceremony included buying back. And that's what the word redeem means. The word redeem, redemption, we get that churchy word redemption from. Redeem means to buy back. All right? And so God allowed Mary and Joseph to have this baby Jesus. He came to fulfill the law perfectly. Parents are still following the law, as it was written in the book of Exodus, giving their firstborn back to God. Thus, the parents acknowledged that the child belonged to God, who alone has the power to give life. So we learned something new today, right? After a month, you present the child, the firstborn child, to God for redemption purposes. And that's exactly what happened to us in baptism. We were redeemed. We were brought back. So it goes for all of us when God blesses us with children. And then the third thing, hello, I'm God, and I'm here to communicate with you today about the wonderful news of my son, Jesus Christ. The third thing, purification of the mother. Now, let's see how really brilliant you guys are, all right? So a little different for sons and daughters. After how many days was, first of all, let's talk about purification. Moms were ceremonially unclean for a period of time, and they had to go to the priest, and they had to present a lamb for a sin offering, and either a couple of doves or a couple of pigeons as a burnt offering. For females, that was done. Moms were made clean Anybody know how many days? Close. 80 days after a daughter was born, you were to bring those animals before the priest, and then mom was declared ceremonially clean. Now, how about for a son? The purification of Mary. When a son was born, how many days before they were brought to the Lord so that they would be ceremonial clean, that is the mom? Anybody know? 80 for the daughter. 40. 40 days after. How about that? For the male. So you learned something new today in church, right? That's not a bad thing. You're not sleeping on me yet, because if you do, I'm going to start preaching from the aisles. Not to keep you awake, but to keep me awake, okay? Purification of the mom. The priest would sacrifice these animals, declare her to be clean. If a lamb was too expensive, the parents could bring a second dove or a pigeon instead. And this is what Mary and Joseph did. So that kind of tells us that they weren't well off, that they didn't marry into a wealthy family, because they brought the two pigeons so that Mary could be purified and ceremonial clean, pronounced, you know, by the priest, and would be then okay in the eyes of God. I really like Simeon and Anna in this story and what they bring to the table, because three times the Holy Spirit is present in this whole reading from Luke chapter 2. John talked about the nunc dimittis, Lord, now let your servant depart in peace. It's so great, because lots of what we have in the hymnal, basically we're saying to God what he has already said to us. Many of us are lifelong Lutherans. You remember the old red hymnal, you know, 1941 hymnal? Most of us grew up not knowing that the liturgy, the word liturgia in the word Greek, actually means work of God's people. So when you're in worship, you're actually going to work. Did you know that? It takes some work to be engaged. It takes some work to listen. It takes some work to sing. It takes some work to pray, to confess your sins, to receive absolution, to say the Nicene and Apostles' Creed. Sometimes we're engaged and sometimes we're not. But hopefully you're engaged right now. And the Holy Spirit had been engaging Simeon and had been telling him, you're not going to die before you see the Lord's Christ, the Lord's Messiah. And I like the words, the consolation of Israel. That's what he was to be. What does the word consolation mean? It's pretty much synonymous with salvation and forgiveness. He was going to be the forgiveness, and he was going to be the salvation of Israel. Not only the old Israel, but us, the new Israel as well. And then let's not forget about Anna, right? Let's not just talk about the males, right, ladies? Let's talk about the females as well. An 84-year-old widow, married for 7 years, and then spent the rest of her life in the temple? Are you kidding me? What a devoted woman of God. I mean, you find them throughout both the Old Testament and the New Testament. Yeah, she was a prophetess. There were prophets, female prophets, you know, in the Old Testament. Deborah was a judge, and there's many others. And then in the New Testament, too, you have women who also were about the things of God and highly devoted. And she referred to Jesus as the redemption of Jerusalem. Again, that whole, you know, that redeem, buy back, present your firstborn son after 40 days, buy him back to the Lord. That's what happened with us. Through this good shepherd, Jesus Christ, who would live a perfect life, die for our sins, and rose again, through his blood and through belief in him, all of us are, we're all bought back because of the grace of God and because of the love of God. For many of us, that was first done when we were baptized. For some of us, we come to faith later on in Jesus. And every time we receive the Lord's body and blood too, it's kind of like God's buying us back all over again. Is he not? And so we live in that grace, and we live in that faith each and every day. What a confession of faith from Simeon and Anna. So here's the practical goods. I'm going to give you three letters to consider, okay? Ways that you and I can be both like Simeon and Anna. Now I'm stepping out because I see some of you nodding off. People were sleeping on me last night. Can you believe that? Saturday night church talking about the presentation of Jesus and the purification of Mary. People are just, you know, okay, I better start stepping out. You know. Mary, Simeon, and Anna. Pete, ready for this? Are you ready for this? You can write it down if you want to, because I'm going to ask you in the service, what does this mean? You don't have to write it down, but if you want to. PTR, proclaim, teach, and reach. This is actually the old slogan of Lutheran Ministries way back in the day, but you know how some things from the back in the day are still good. I really like this. I think it's great. PTR.
First one is proclaim. That's what Simeon was doing, and that's what Anna was doing. They were proclaiming in the temple what this Messiah was to be. They were saying that, first of all, this Jesus is a gift from God. That's what Simeon was saying. Secondly, he was saying that this is the Messiah that we've all been waiting for, who's going to be the consolation of Israel. And the third thing that he was basically saying is that he's going to be a light to the Gentiles. He's here for the Israelites, but a light to the Gentiles as well. So this Messiah is both for Jews and for Gentiles. Amen? He's going to be a light to all nations, it said in our scripture reading. And we believe that, and we confess that as a church body, and we want to be a light to all nations. And we have a great opportunity to do that here at FGS, because if you haven't noticed, all the nations are coming to the U.S. of A., whether you like it or not, it's a reality, and this is what heaven's going to look like. This is kind of sacramental, isn't it? It's heaven on earth. So we get the privilege and the honor and the opportunity to be a light to the nations. And then Anna, with her proclamation as well, you know, proclaiming that this child would be the redemption of Jerusalem. He would be our redemption as well. He's the redemption of all peoples, whether they believe it or not. And then, you know, when you proclaim, when God gives you an opportunity to simply share your faith, you know, tell another person what you believe. Think of the Apostles' Creed. When you do your little proclaiming, by the way, we're all Simeons, we're all Annas, really, because we're baptized children of God, we believe it. You have opportunities to proclaim as well. And when you proclaim, you're actually teaching other people what you believe. I'm in the dentist chair last week. I think I may have mentioned this last Sunday. You know, 6 months ago, I got my teeth clean. I go 6 months later, and the dentist is with Jesus, okay? The dentist is gone, so I'm having a conversation with the hygienist who's been there 25 years in this dentist office right downtown here, right? And she's telling me, you know, I know you're a pastor. I'm Roman Catholic. I go to Mass all the time. I've been reading about this guy named William Barclay. By the way, anybody have heard of William Barclay before? Okay, pretty well-known theologian. He's written a lot of books. And I said, you know, I'm familiar with him. I haven't read a whole lot of his stuff, but I think I know who you're talking about. She said, you know, he's really a fascinating writer. So, you know, I just go to Google, right? Who is this guy? Well, he's a Scottish author, radio, television presenter, Church of Scotland minister, professor of divinity, biblical criticism at the University of Glasgow. He wrote a popular set of biblical commentaries in the New Testament that sold 1.5 million copies. He was born in 1907 in Scotland, the United Kingdom. He died in 1978 in Glasgow, the United Kingdom. So, pretty well-known guy. And then she went on to say to me, you know, let me ask you something. I've been reading a lot about him, but he happens to deny the deity of Jesus. You know, that Jesus was both true God and true man. You know, I've got that thing in my mouth, you know, and I'm in a chair, you know, thanks for listening, you know, and so I can't respond, you know. But I am side going, that's interesting, you know, that William Barclay denies the deity. And in our Hebrew readings from today, our Hebrew epistle reading, it said that he had to become like us, right? He had to take on human flesh. There's a reason for that. He had to be our substitute. We call that the vicarious atonement, you know, in theological circles. He had to be our substitute. He had to come into the game of life for us, take on skin, take our place so that he could redeem us, so he could buy us back. And she said, you know, he also denies the virgin birth of Christ. What do you think about that, guys? All right? Yeah, you know, and I'm like, wow, this has now become a teachable moment for me. So after she, you know, removed that thing out of my mouth, I said, you know, that would really concern me as a Christian. Because those are really fundamental, basic teachings, you know, and you know the Apostles' Creed and the Nicene Creed. I mean, you deny the deity of Jesus and you also deny his birth. I mean, that's really fundamental to the Christian faith. I'd be real careful when you're reading his literature. And I also found out through reading on Google, not that everything Google's inspired and accurate, you know, that he denies the existence of hell and the universal atonement of Jesus, meaning that Jesus died for all people. So that's why it's important you know what you believe, what you teach, and you confess, okay? So that when you're proclaiming, you know, when you're sharing and telling somebody else about Jesus, you're teaching them in accordance with the Word, in accordance with our historic creeds. And when you do that, that's the letter R, you reach people with the law and the gospel of Jesus Christ. You tell them, the reason I need Jesus is because I'm a sinner. I get it wrong, and I mess up all the time. But Jesus has become my substitute. He lived the life I couldn't live. He died for my sins, and he rose again. And then you know what? The Holy Spirit, just as he used Simeon, he uses you and me, because Romans 10, verse 17 says, faith comes through hearing, and the message is heard through the word of Christ. So when you proclaim, you teach, and when you teach, you reach, just like Simeon did and just like Anna did. So remember, PTR, proclaim, teach, and reach, all in the Good Shepherd's name of Jesus. And God bless you as you do. And everyone said,
amen.
Amen.